Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Braves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, covering your favorite teams across your favorite sports across your favorite podcast platforms. Locked On Podcast Network has a show specifically catered to your tastes, whether that be MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, whatever the case may be. If you have a favorite team and a favorite sport, chances are Locked On Podcast Network has a show especially designed to help you stay up to date without having to spend all the hours yourself. Just tune into one of the shows Monday through Friday, and you'll be kept abreast of everything you need to know to be the one at the office that everybody else is asking questions. Locked On Podcast Network, just subscribe to your favorite shows, and you can be kept up to date whenever a new episode drops during this quarantine time. Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you three shows a week. That way, you never miss out on your favorite sport. And here at Locked On Braves, I gotta say, we might end up not finishing these prospects by Friday. I've got some other stuff in the works going on. You guys may have seen already the news about the proposal that could get baseball back by May. I'm gonna talk about that tomorrow after I've had a little bit more time to really kind of dig into it. I don't want to give any thoughts on it until I really dig into the particulars, but we'll look forward to that tomorrow. Today, I wanted to make sure that we continue the prospect show because today has my favorite prospect as far as making an impact on the 2020 team. I've probably said it before, but it's probably been a throwaway on one of the other shows. So if you guys have ever been wondering which guy I think is going to have the biggest impact on the 2020 roster for the Atlanta Braves, or would have had the 2020 impact if we'd had a full season, you'll figure that out today. As a matter of fact, I'm going to start it off right away. Starting at number six, it is Tucker Davidson, 19th round pick in 2016. This is a guy that was drafted as a reliever, kind of a low type of velocity, really was only topping at 92, became a full-time starter in 2018, and that's when everything sort of kind of clicked for Tucker. After 2018, he had some stuff that he had to work on. He was still kind of throwing 92, 93. So in the offseason, he ended up going to Driveline and absolutely exploded. Been verified at 100 miles an hour with the motion capture. I believe it's the fastest left-handed pitcher ever to go to Driveline. He actually got clocked fully at triple digits, no 99 and rounding up. This was a full 100 miles an hour. And Tucker has just done a great job as a starter, and he's worked so hard at Driveline, not just getting the velocity, but ironing out his mechanics, getting his biomechanics in order so where he's being as efficient as possible. Just a really great work ethic for a guy that, getting drafted in the 16th round, being a reliever right away, he could have given up on the dream to start, but Tucker decided that he wanted to be a starter. The Braves decided to give him that chance, and boy, has it paid off for them, as Tucker looks like an absolute steal of a draft pick, 16th rounder as a senior sign. And this is a guy, it's not just the fastball. He's got the premium velocity now, but because he didn't have it before, the thing with Tucker has been the rest of his pitches. His curveball is really, really nice. Grades out at about a 55 on the 20 to 80 scale right now, but this is going to be a future plus, maybe even a plus plus pitch. This is a swing and miss type curveball. It's not as good as Max Fried's, but then again, nobody's is. But behind Max, I'd probably say this is the second best curveball in the system. It is just, well, third behind Tukey. I'll give you Tukey. But it is a very, very good curveball, especially from the left hand side. His slider, by the way, also flashes plus. One of these guys that throws a curve and a slider and actually throws both. They don't meld into each other. Slider sits about average normal, but it flashes plus. It's also got swing and miss capabilities. And he's got a changeup in the arsenal too. It's really just an average changeup right now. It needs to be a little bit more consistent in the action. It needs to fade a little bit more consistently. There's too many times where he throws it and it's just an 85 mile an hour fastball where it doesn't really move. But if he can get consistent with the drop and the fade on that pitch, then he's going to have another pitch in that repertoire that's going to be able to get swings and misses, or hitters are going to roll over the top of, and he's going to be able to pitch well against right-handed hitters. This is what I like about Tucker Davidson. Is he's got all these pitches. All of them are at least average. The three of the four right now are above average pitches heading towards plus. That fastball is going to be rocketing up the system now that he's got 100 miles an hour in his back pocket. In 2019 really was an eye-opening campaign for him. He put a lot of it together. really established himself in the system and really established himself as a name to watch out for. It wasn't just a, oh, he might be a back end. He might be the number five in your rotation. He might be the fill-in guy. He might be the long reliever. Tucker has now developed a ton of upside in his game. Now there's a lot of people, myself included, who look at him and start wondering, well, if he gets that changeup under wraps, you're talking about a guy that sky's kind of the limit. I don't know that I'd ever say number one, but I'm a big fan of Tucker. I might actually go that route. The more respected prospect people probably won't say that, but I like who I like, and Tucker is a guy that I'm very happy for. It's not even just the stuff. He's a very efficient worker, which is really, really good. He's got a good body size for it, too. He's listed at 6'2", 215, but he's closer to 225, 230-ish. Very, very stout, very wide. He's got the right body to eat up innings, and he's a guy that, because he's so efficient, consistently goes deep in games, and that's an important deal. When you're talking about the new way they've got the bullpens going, where it's three batter minimums, I think you'll start to see starters go a little bit longer in games, and Tucker's a guy that can certainly do that. His mechanics are very simple now, very easy to repeat. That's one of the things that he worked on to death at Driveline, was simplifying his mechanics, getting them repeatable so that he can progress, and he has done a great job on that. Like, as I've mentioned, he's got a relentless work ethic. Got a pretty big chip on his shoulder from being drafted in the 16th round. This is a guy, he's going to begin the season at AAA. I'll guarantee, though, you'll see him in the majors at some point, barring injury. We saw him in spring training, and he looked really, really good. He did always come in late as a bullpen guy, which kind of worried me a little bit. Because this is a guy that he could be used in the bullpen immediately to facilitate a move to the majors. He's done it before, but I don't think that is the right move for Tucker Davidson. I know it's easy to say, well, we got to clear out the logjam, and I agree with you. I just don't think Tucker's the one that should be moved to the bullpen. I think Tucker's future is in the rotation. This is a guy that I think is still kind of figuring out his ceiling. He doesn't have a lot of weaknesses right now. If you're going to figure out the biggest weaknesses, I think his biggest issue is sequencing. Now that he's got 100 in his back pocket, he tends to fall in love with that fastball a little bit, so he starts rearing back and trying to blow it by people. And you can't always do that. High velocity can be caught up to. A lot of people are throwing 96-plus now, so it's not like hitters are unused to it. He's just got to do a better job at putting his sequences together. Once he does that, the strikeouts are going to explode upward for this guy. He does need to trim his walks. If you're looking for like the one nail in the coffin, I guess, the one bad thing about Tucker, he does tend to walk a few guys. But I think sequencing will help with that, to where you're not falling behind counts, or you're not going into, you know, 8-9 pitch counts with guys where they know what you're throwing at that point. Once he gets better at sequencing, he'll be more unpredictable. And as I've said before, unpredictability is the best trait to have in a starting pitcher. That's what keeps you going the second, third time through the order. For Tucker Davidson, I am blown away by this kid. I think this kid is a true gem. I think this is a true diamond that the Braves found in the 16th round. I think he's going to be an incredible pitcher. I'm very, very, or 19th round, I'm sorry. I actually gave him an extra three rounds. I've been saying 16th this whole time. It's actually the 19th round in 2016. But this is a guy that I'm fully believing in now. I'm fully on board. Basically, where Kyle Muller was originally, this is where I think Tucker Davidson is now. What I was thinking about Joey Wentz, unfortunately, who's with the Tigers now, that's what I now think about Tucker Davidson. Tucker has burst onto the scene, and he's taken prospect spots by storm. I don't know how many other people are going to have him listed at number six, but I'm fully bought in on Tucker Davidson. If you want a comparison for him, I've got one that may seem a little crazy to a lot of people, but it just kind of shows how much I really believe in Tucker Davidson. I'm going to compare him to Aaron Nola. And I know that's lofty praise, but with Aaron Nola having one of the best seasons ever a couple years ago. But that's what I'm seeing with Tucker Davidson, a guy that has multiple plus off-speed pitches, that has the good fastball in the back pocket, but he's not going to have to be beholden to it. He can pitch backwards if he needs to because his off-speed is so good. Once he gets that changeup under wraps, and I fully believe he will, the walks are going to come down as well as he's starting to get used to having the newfound velocity. This is a guy that I think is seriously going to contend for number two, maybe even close to number one status in rotations in the future. I will not be shocked if Tucker Davidson ends up battling Max Fried and Mike Soroka for the top spots. Either way, this is a guy that I think is going to be in the rotation for a long time to come, and I would not be shocked if he ends up being one of the best out of the entire system. Tucker Davidson, my pick for the 2020 Impact Rookie. This is the one guy that I look at and think has a clear path to being important in the team, whether it's in the bullpen or whether it's as a starter. I think Tucker can flourish in any sort of manner. But I think as a starter, that's what you're going to see out of Tucker Davidson. In the years to come, we're going to be talking about Tucker Davidson's name the same way we were with guys like Chris Medlin and guys of that nature, guys who were just really, really good pitchers. And Tucker has better stuff than Medlin ever did. So keep an eye on Tucker Davidson. This is a guy that you're not going to want to miss the climb from him. It is well worth it and is a great story to boot. So congratulations, Tucker Davidson, number six in the system. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to move on to number five, a 2019 draft pick that you guys have definitely heard of and definitely seen. I'm going to give you the breakdown on him coming up next right here on Locked On Braves. From an early morning breakfast burrito to a 12-pack of beer while you watch the game, sometimes you just need what you need delivered fast. And that's where Postmates comes in. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're having lunch, maybe even right when you get up in the morning. I love food. And that's why I love using Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant out there, at least everyone that I can think of, right to my front door. But Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They can make my life easier with grocery delivery, whatever I can think of delivery. Convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it, Postmates will deliver it. No more trips to the store. No more late-night fast food runs. I don't even have to worry about where to grab lunch anymore. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners here on Locked On Braves $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. That is the perfect amount of time. Everybody's stuck in quarantine. You know what? Don't worry about getting all your food. Don't worry about going out and shopping. Just Postmate it. Start your free deliveries. Just download the app. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. You'll get $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days just for downloading the Postmates app for iOS or Android. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Thanks for sticking with me. Hope you guys enjoy the Tucker Davidson breakdown. I just can't tell you guys enough how impressed I am with him and how excited I am for him. And really, that kind of rolls over into our next one as we're talking the top 30 breakdown. Number five on this list is a guy you've undoubtedly heard of, Shea Langeliers, the first-round pick last season, the first first-round pick last season. And just full disclosure, I wasn't super happy with the pick when they made it. I thought they went low upside on him. I wasn't sold on his ability to hit. I really just wanted Hunter Bishop. I loved the fact that Hunter Bishop had the ability to be like Christian Yelich, or that's what he looked like in college. But as I've seen Shea Langeliers, and we saw him a lot this spring training, there is a lot to like about him. And first of all, the number one thing that sticks out is the number one thing that's going to stick out to everybody. He is a supreme defensive catcher. I'm talking, he's probably already a top five defensive catcher in the majors. This guy is a stud behind the plate. He's already got the best pop time. He got timed at, I believe it was 181 or 186. And the fastest at that point was JT Realmuto, who's at 188 and 187, and Shea Langeliers actually bested his pop time in one of the spring training steal attempts. Absolutely incredible. He's got a big arm on top of it. It's very accurate, and he's extremely, extremely advanced in his game calling. That's a very important thing. Game calling, like I was mentioning with Tucker Davidson, sequencing being such a big deal for pitchers. Well, for catchers, game calling alleviates that. That's what goes into it. So you're not having to shake off. So the pitcher's not having to shake off the catcher all the time, which kind of helps the batter a little bit. He figures out they're not on the same page. Well, it's kind of incredible that Shea's as good at that as he is, seeing as he never called his own games in college. And that's not shocking. Most college catchers don't. Most times the pitching coaches are calling the games. But Shea's a guy that is very, very good at that. He's very natural at that. So that's a great thing to have. I mean, I can promise you it's going to work out great with the young pitchers. They're going to love throwing to Shea. And he's very advanced receiving the ball. That's another thing that's one of those things that kind of falls by the wayside a little bit. You start thinking, catching is catching. But like I mentioned with William Contreras, receiving is a very important skill. Receiving helps with your framing. It helps with setting up for throwdowns. It helps with everything. It helps with setting up for your blocks. Receiving plays a big deal in how your strikes are construed. And until we have an electronic strike zone, receiving is going to be a very big deal for catchers. It's one of those subtle things that it doesn't show up in a box score, but it's a very, very important thing for catchers who are dedicated to their craft to be really, really good at. It helps everything else along the way. It just makes everything else more efficient. And that's one of the things that I like about Langoliers is how advanced he is in his game calling and his receiving. As I mentioned, his arm is also a plus arm, very strong arm, very accurate. This is a guy that's probably going to sit around 33% caught stealing. I don't know that he's going to be Yachty, who sits at 40, but Shea's going to be right underneath that. That is, he is going to be a supremely gifted defensive catcher, and he's got great intangibles. I mean, his leadership qualities are through the roof. Everybody who's ever been on a team with him or coached him has said the same thing, that this guy's a leader in the clubhouse. And I know we poo-poo that sometimes, and sometimes we it does get a little bit overrated. But I think it's a very important thing when you look at a guy who knows how to command respect in the clubhouse, despite being really, really young. And for a catcher, it's doubly important because he's always got to deal with the pitchers as well. This is why a lot of catchers... I would not be shocked if you see Shea Langoliers end up as a manager. That's the type of intangibles I kind of feel from him. Pretty similar to Brian McCann. When McCann was coming up, that's the type of intangibles we're talking about, although he's a far better defensive catcher than Brian McCann ever was. He should fly through the system just on the strength of his defense alone. I mean, his defense is that good that you could feel comfortable having him play in a game right now and he'd essentially be Austin Hedges. I mean, it is that elite of a defensive game. You can see why the Braves were really excited to be able to draft him when they were. Kind of fell a little bit because there was this guy named Adley Rutschman in the draft, and Adley Rutschman is one of these insane Buster Posey type catchers who is a good defender, has a good arm, but really is just an incredible offensive player and a switch hitter. So Shea fell a little bit. There was also an injury to his hamate bone, I believe. Got over that a little bit, but when we talk about his offensive qualities, that's one of the things that I have to keep reminding myself, and you got to keep bearing in mind when you're looking at his power numbers. He's coming off of a hamate injury, which hamates sap your power. We saw it with a few other guys in the system. We've seen it with Dustin Peterson, for example. When he broke his hamate bone, it took him about a year and a half before the power fully came back for him. As far as his offense goes, he doesn't really have a standout offensive tool. He's got above average power, which is good. I wouldn't call it plus or anything like that. He squares the ball up, though, hits it hard. He's got a very, very simple swing and a very simple setup, which is really good. It means he should always be good at making contact. There's not a lot of moving parts in his swing. Now, he doesn't have big light tower power, but he squares the ball up well, shoots gaps really well, should be an extra base hit machine. He can get a little too power happy at times rather than letting it come to him. He's got pretty good raw power, probably about 55 or 60 on the scale, but he does try to muscle up to it a little too often, which leads to some pop-ups and some strikeouts for him. But the hit tool, I think it's going to be much better than people are thinking. I think once he kind of learns to play within his own game, then it's going to be a lot better. He'll get to his power eventually. But as I mentioned with William Contreras, power for catchers is one of the last things that shows up because they've got so much else to focus on. It's a good, simple swing. I like simple swings because there's not a lot that can go wrong. It's very easy to stay in tune with your mechanics. And for him, he just needs to have enough offense to make his defense palatable he just needs enough offense to be palatable. He doesn't need to be, you know, a superstar offensive player to be a valuable player. He just needs to hit well enough to stay on the field, and I have no doubts that he's going to do that. Once he kind of learns a little bit how to approach being a big league hitter or being a professional hitter, that he doesn't need to sell out for his power, there's a lot of games in a season, and that it's okay to play gap to gap, you're going to see something very, very rare with him. Because I do think he's got good power, and I think when he stops trying to get to his power so much, he'll come to it a lot more naturally. He won't muscle up balls. The swing will be a lot more smooth, and his offensive game will grow as a result. So this is a rare guy that could be a full-time catcher. This is a guy that, if his offense goes right, like I think it will, and like most people think will, this is a guy that probably won't need a platoon mate. This is a guy that you can roll out there, you know, 4 out of 5 days or whatever, and feel great about the result. I don't think this is a guy that you're going to have struggles with, where you look at guys like Max Fried who don't work well with Tyler Flowers, or Mike Soroka not working well with Brian McCann last season. There's few catchers in the game that work well with every pitcher. Guys like Yadi Molina, guys like Wilson Contreras. There's not very many that stay back there. And really, even Wilson Contreras, I don't know who it is. It might be Darvish that doesn't throw to him, but there's one pitcher on that staff that always throws to Vic Caratino, or Vic Caratino, whatever his name is. Used to be in the Braves system. But for Shea Langeliers, I don't think you're going to have that worry. He's got the pop time. He's got the power. He's got the swing to be able to maintain a 265 to 275-ish type average. Probably going to sit between 15 to 20 home runs. He'll probably hit 25 at his peak. A guy that you can pencil in 6-7 in your order. Doesn't have to hit in the middle, but won't be out of place if he does, but probably going to sit around that 6 or 7 hole. This is a very good type of player. This is a guy that I think you're going to see in Atlanta a lot quicker than maybe a lot of people were anticipating when they drafted him. I think 2021, you could see him up there. I think this is one of the reasons why the Braves haven't gone out and gotten one of these high-impact catchers, because they haven't wanted to block these guys in the minors. If you were to ask me today who I like, who I feel better about between Langeliers and Contreras, I'd give you a different answer today than I'm going to give you when they drafted him. When they drafted him, I was all aboard the William Contreras train. But after watching Langeliers and seeing what he's done, and just seeing him for myself, even in spring training, albeit against lesser competition, I am fully on board the Langeliers train now. I think this is a guy that's we're going to see starting in Atlanta. While I don't want to say he's going to have a Javi Lopez or a Brian McCann career, it would not be out of the realm of possibility for him to have a Brian McCann type of career here with the Braves. This is a guy that is a very, very good player and great at his singular craft. This is a guy that you're going to enjoy watching for a long time to come. As far as comparisons, I could give you Brian McCann, but I think the guy that he matches up with best is Wilson Contreras. It's a guy that doesn't have, you know, super elite tools. Wilson has kind of developed his power in recent years. Last year he was an all-out stud, but a guy that has an amazing arm, really accurate. Langeliers is a better blocker and a better game caller than Wilson, but Wilson is no slouch defensively. One of these full-time catchers that, you know, they're not fast, but they're not super slow for catchers either. A guy that's going to hit probably about 270, 275, and be a good all-around player. That's what I'm talking about with Shea Langeliers. And if that's what you get out of this young man, that is something to be very, very excited about, because it really completes the roster as far as getting young players in who are going to be able to play in that spot and be a part of this team for years on end. You can finally stop seeing a little bit of carousel or platoon work with the catchers when Langeliers comes to play. I'm very excited about him, very excited for what the future holds, and I'm very excited to get to the end of this list. As we've gotten through the top five now, we're breaking ground on the top five. You guys can probably guess who they are. You can probably even guess the order now. It's not that hard to figure out who I haven't mentioned now. But we'll be back probably Friday. We'll do another breakdown with these guys. I'm not sure yet. Might be Monday. It might be Tuesday. Tuesday or Wednesday next week, we might get back on the prospect train. We'll see what happens. I'll be back here on Friday to discuss what's been going on in baseball and the new proposals. Monday, I've got a very special guest joining me, which will be a lot of fun for everybody. And then I think Wednesday, we'll kick back up and finish off the prospect so we can finish out next Friday. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for sticking with me through this whole thing. We're almost through now. We're 25 prospects down. Hope you guys are enjoying this as we start getting inching a little bit closer towards baseball. Thank you guys so much. We'll be back again on Friday right here on Locked On Braves.